There's something moving in the water. Is it a bird? Is it a fish? No, it's a squirrel?
So squirrels can swim. That always amazes people.
And sometimes they cross big bodies of water like the Menai Strait in Wales. And that's where the problem begins. On the island of Ynysmon, Anglesey, in North Wales, there's a mission underway to protect one of Britain's most endangered mammals, the red squirrel, from extinction and the growing threat of the grey squirrel, a danger that can even arrive by sea. Keeping this small population of squirrels safe is a game of high stakes and ingenuity. I'm Rosie Holsworth, and you're listening to Wild Tales, Operation Nutcracker, the Return of the Red Squirrel. No doubt you've seen a squirrel before. Down the road, in a park, or darting up a telegraph pole. Chances are it's a grey squirrel. They were introduced to the UK in the late 1800s, and now there are millions of them. One you're much less likely to see is the red squirrel. It's our native species, and it's been here for thousands of years. But now it's one of Britain's most endangered mammals, with very few places where it still survives. One of those places is the island of Ynysmon, Anglesey, in North Wales. Not so long ago, there were only 40 red squirrels remaining here. Today, we're heading to Plasnewith, where rangers run daily red squirrel walks, giving visitors a chance to catch a glimpse of a red squirrel in a place where they're making a comeback.
Oh, I'm Carol. I've been volunteering as a squirrel ranger here since it started, which must be about 7 years now. But yeah, I've always been interested in animals, looking after animals. So the opportunity to come and work as a ranger here for the National Trust was, well, it was too good to turn down.
Here at Plasnewith, Carol is getting ready to head out.
We do two walks a day, telling people about our squirrels, trying to give people that enthusiasm for the red squirrels and why it's important to keep protecting them.
Carol knows these woods very well.
So this is where I start off the walk. So I gather people up here and we do a little introduction and we set off down this way.
It's a chance for her to make sure that visitors have their eyes firmly fixed in the right direction.
When they're looking for squirrels, they walk around like this.
Which is head lifted towards the sky.
And you're just going to headbutt a tree or trip over.
So instead,
I walk for a bit and then I stop and we have a tap. And while we're stopped, that's when they can look for squirrels.
And as Carol sets off, it's not too far before she gets to the first stopping point.
This is Dairy Wood. We're in Dairy Wood, so it's a lovely mixed woodland. We've got a beautiful canopy above us and we're lucky today that the sun is out and we have very little wind, so the trees aren't moving, which when we're looking for squirrels is really helpful. But we are quite close to the road here, but there is a reason why I stopped quite close to the road. Because this is lovely woodland, but then just over the other side of the road we've got lovely woodland. And our squirrels, we don't keep them here, and we're quite happy for our squirrels to go that way, but they've got to get across that road.
When a stretch of woodland is split in two by a road, that's what's known as habitat fragmentation. And for an animal that spends most of its life in the trees, coming down to the ground can be dangerous.
And unfortunately we do have some casualties. So what the National Trust have done is they've put up a squirrel bridge. It's nothing fancy. It's two telegraph poles and a rope. If you imagine a squirrel up there, it's so easy for them to get from one tree to the next without having to come down onto the floor. So if they can stay up there and still get across that road, it just gives them that opportunity to cross over without getting squished.
And when there are so few red squirrels left, every safe crossing matters.
So we start off on this nice manicured path, but we are going to turn into the woods in a bit.
And as she walks, Carol likes to keep her visitors on their toes.
I start off by asking people who's seen a red, and I'll get sort of maybe half the group have, and then I say who's seen a grey, And you'll hear the different responses. Oh, yeah, my garden, you know, they don't like them. And then I explain, well, the reason for that is there's about 3 million greys and only about 200,000 reds. And I say, well, let's see if you can tell me the difference between a grey and a red. I'm going to show you two photos. You tell me if it's grey and a red. And it's a trick question because it's a grey squirrel who's got a red coat. And then I've got a picture of a red squirrel with a grey coat. And it's really nice to point out the differences. Like the reds have the tufty ears. The greys have got the white edge to their tail. So it's nice to show them those photos because they all go, oh, yeah, that's a red. And then someone will go, oh, but it hasn't got the tufty ears. There's always someone who picks it up. So that's quite interesting to tell people as well.
Another difference is that grey squirrels are 25% larger and almost twice the weight as a red squirrel, which means they eat a lot more food. But how did the grey squirrels get here in the first place?
They were introduced in the 1870s, so we have the Victorians to thank for that. So people who lived in these lovely big houses would go travelling, and so they went over to North America and they saw these grey squirrels and they thought, well, we haven't got any of those at home, we've just got those little red ones. I'll bring some back to show my friends how well travelled I am. And so they did, but they soon got fed up with them and just released them into their parkland. And from that point on, squirrels do what they do, they reproduce, they multiplied. We started to see a drop in the number of reds, because at that point in time we would have had about 3 million red squirrels in this country, and now it's completely flipped, we've got 3 million grey squirrels.
So here at Plas Newydd, a lot goes into keeping the red squirrels thriving.
We're going to go in here now. We've got one of our feeders up there, and we've also got this log, which is where I'm going to go and put some food out. So the food I'm putting out, it's sunflower seeds, and we put them out whole, so they've got the black outer husk on, and our squirrels, when they eat these seeds, if we're lucky enough later and we've got a squirrel sat on this log, he will pick each one up with his paws, and then they bite into it and they split it and they just leave the husk lying around. So this is a bird-proof squirrel feeder. So most people in the country have squirrel-proof bird feeders, but we're the other way around. So our squirrel, he comes along, sits on there, and then he's got to lift that lid up to get to the food. So the birds can't get it, but our squirrels can.
And it's not just sunflower seeds that the squirrels have a taste for.
Pine cones, our little darlings, they love getting the seeds out of the pine cones. And what our squirrels do is they turn it round and they pull the little leaves off to get to the seeds that are inside. So they turn it and turn it and turn it. You've got a spiral pattern on these on these pine cones. And whether the spiral goes to the left or the right depends on whether the squirrel turned it to the left or the right, and that depends on whether they're left or right-handed.
It's all evidence to show the red squirrels are here and well.
And I always like to show people those because it's something they can then go and look for after we've done the walk, or if, you know, next time they're out for a walk in some woodland, they can have a look for it.
But not that long ago, they almost disappeared altogether.
Well, they were always here, but they were in decline because the grey squirrels were also here.
By the 1990s, there were just 40 red squirrels left on Ynys Mon. Something had to change. A group of local people came together to try to turn things around, working across the island to protect and rebuild the population. The grey squirrels were removed and red squirrels were reintroduced into woodlands like this one.
So this is the long walk. So you've got these lovely pine trees. So people do often report seeing squirrels in these trees as well. But you've got this fantastic view ahead of us. But all we're looking at is the straits really in front of us and two rows of pine trees. So it is a lovely view. Go and check this feeder here and then we'll go down to the hive. So this is Church Bank Wood, and this is where the reintroduction was. So this is where they reintroduced six red squirrels in 2008.
And it wasn't just here. A handful of similar reintroductions have taken place in woodlands across Ynys Mon. And over time, the population began to grow. Today, there are around 800 red squirrels on the island. But keeping them safe is another matter.
In 2009, they started to see red squirrels in the woodland on the other side of the Menai Straits. So they had crossed from Anglesey to the mainland. As I said earlier, a bit like crossing the road, don't mind our squirrels going that way, but we don't want the greys that are over there coming this way.
It's not just competition for habitat. Grey squirrels can also carry a deadly virus.
I mean, the main risk is that the grey squirrels carry a disease called squirrel pox. Unfortunately, the reds don't seem to have any natural immunity to it, and if they come into contact with it, they'd probably be dead within 2 to 3 weeks. So we really don't want those greys back over here.
But keeping Innismon free of grey squirrels hasn't been easy.
Since about 2013, 2014, Anglesey has been mainly grey squirrel free. I say mainly because they are only just over there on the mainland. They can get across, they do get across.
Sometimes they cross from the mainland on one of the two bridges, or sometimes they find another route.
So squirrels can swim, so they can swim the Menai Straits, and that always amazes people.
It sounds unlikely, but it's true, because they're always on the move looking for food or new territory. And every so often, that means crossing water, even the Menai Strait.
A few years ago, there was somebody out in a boat and he managed to get a picture, grey squirrel swimming across.
They swim with their heads above the water, using their paws to paddle and their tails to steer. So keeping them from getting back onto Innismon takes real ingenuity.
So they tried a few things, one of which was they put some speakers near the bridges and played loud, scary noises.
Trying to scare the squirrels off.
But all the grey squirrels did was go behind the speakers and chewed all the wires, so they weren't that bothered about the loud noises. So then they thought, oh, we'll get the scent of a predator. Bearing in mind that grey squirrels originated from North America, what predator scent might be useful? So we have a little debate about that. People come up with a few suggestions, you know, wolves or bears or whatever. But no, they actually went and got tiger poo.
But that didn't work either.
And so obviously we can't barricade the whole of the Menai Strait to keep the grey squirrels away. But what we do have, our secret weapon, is the people who live on Anglesey. They love their red squirrels. They're very passionate about their red squirrels. They'll have feeder boxes in their gardens. They'll get to know the ones that come and visit on a regular basis. They get to know if they've got youngsters. They keep an eye out for any that look sick. But they also keep an eye out for any grey squirrels. If they see a grey squirrel, they report it, just in case it's one of our red squirrels who's got a bit of a grey coat and somebody, you know, accidentally thought it was a grey, but it's not.
Over on the mainland in Wales, they've tried something different, bringing back a native species.
They have also reintroduced pine martins.
And it might just be working.
What they found is where they've reintroduced pine martins in areas where there are grey squirrels and red squirrels, the number of grey squirrels goes down and the number of red squirrels goes up. And again, they think it's to do with the fact that pine martins are native, red squirrels are native, so a red squirrel smells a pine martin and it's off. But as yet, grey squirrels don't recognise pine martins, so they stay around, so they're that bit easier to catch.
And all that effort to keep the grey squirrels off Innismon is making a difference. It's helping to restore a native species to a landscape where they'd all but disappeared. Which means that visitors will have a much better chance of catching a glimpse of that elusive red squirrel.
So what we've got, we're just so lucky, we've just checked the feeder, and we've got two squirrels chasing each other around a tree. You don't very often see two squirrels together. We're so lucky to be seeing this, because they're normally quite solitary. But to see two of them running around a tree like that, it's quite possibly a male and a female. But that's so nice to see them.
Because seeing red squirrels in the wild, thriving, it's pretty special. Thank you for listening to this episode of Wild Tales. If you enjoyed it, why not give us a follow or a review? And if you'd like to find out more about the red squirrels and their reintroduction at Innismon, then head to the episode show notes. We've also got a Wild Tales episode on the reintroduction of pine martins, if you fancy a listen. See you next time.